in here, and I might cry. And that, even that email makes me want to cry, but it also tells me that you guys know me a little bit, as much as I might try to hide and not let you know myself very well. So, I am Cassie. I'm a compulsive eater. I have been identify myself as a compulsive eater since way back, because I can compulsively not eat, or especially not eat a meal until hours into the day. Most of the not eating or under eating has been in the times of severe depression or exhaustion over a certain event, which went away quickly enough because the compulsion to just eat overtook that. I have not ever not eaten for long periods of time on purpose, purged, or used laxatives or that kind of thing. I have really hardly ever dieted. I learned long ago to tell your story as what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. In the early years of 12-step programs, I spoke at least in my birthday month as it was expected of me, and I was taught you do that. I haven't told my story for a long time. I was also told that you have three stories, the one you want to tell, the one you told, and the one that you wish that you told. So true. I feel like in OA, I have learned it more as share your experience, strength, and hope, which is a different way of saying that. Experience is what it was like. Strength is what you have learned in the program, how the program works for you. And hope is what your life is like now. What has changed? And especially for me, no matter what, there is hope. Just one day at a time. Don't give up. Go slow, but keep on going. We're in this together. Don't give up. I hope some of that hope is here in my story. And I really like the experience, strength, and hope way of saying it, because that for me is like a moving fluid thing, whereas what it was like, what happened, what's like now is like more black and white. So being so black and white and looking at things black and white may have also been some of the things that have affected my life. On advice of a friend, I wrote this out, which has been really good for me. It was good advice because I am very scattered these days. I often also want to cry. Things come up during meetings, and that's a good thing, but I really don't want to be crying and trying to choke out the words. But the realization I have so much stuck inside of me that I've never let out, a lot of it I didn't even know, is a very core part of healing I am having this time around. Doing this over and writing this week has made me realize how much I have been focusing on what I don't do, what is not right, if you will, instead of what I do and what is good in my life. How many things I do to work a program. So I have had a big shift this week, although I think it will take some ongoing prayer and consciousness. I am focusing on what I do instead of what I don't do, and realize that it will come out as it comes. So I wrote, I will probably read this writing, and that was way far into this. So I am going to read this through. And another thing is that I timed myself this morning, and it was just about 20 minutes. And I also had a timer to set this morning. So I will read this through. No matter what, though, keep coming back. Seek people, places where there's recovery. It will unfold slowly but surely, one day at a time. I hope this comes out as well. And I don't have a good space to put my papers. So in November here, just around the corner, it'll be 30 years since my first 12-step meeting. You will know where I was when I tell you that if only everyone else would behave, everything would be okay with me. A friend who has just started going to AA invited me to a meeting, a small meeting serving a small community near larger communities. I ran into a woman that was not totally part of my circle, but definitely one who was out and about somewhere most nights of the week. 6 months later, when the realization finally came through, I drove a mile or so to where I thought she lived to see if I could find her. I needed to talk to someone to figure out what I needed to do, should do. There she was on her front doorstep. Telling other visitors goodbye. She looked at me. I'm sorry, guys. Can't believe it still makes me want to cry. And some of this stuff I didn't even know affected me so much. and smiled and welcomed me with open arms, took me to a meeting later in the week. That broke the ice enough for me that I was able to start going to meetings in the retirement community nearby. This was the perfect place for me. People with recovery and oriented to service. Now then, after the big revelation admittance that I was an alcoholic, oh, what a relief that was. I had to go to my Al-Anon meeting with all those sweet little old ladies, who, by the way, taught me a lot, such as money doesn't make things any better. It hurts after years and years to see a perfectly wonderful person not being angry, not doing anything, just laying there on the floor drunk, and no anger, no sadness on her part. And you can get through death too. You know what these people told me after I cried and choked that out, that I was an alcoholic? They said, congratulations, we are so happy for you. We love you. And you know, I was even more relieved. I don't know how well I accepted the love in my heart, because I know I still have a problem with that today, but I was able to start there with accepting some time, friendship, and people's giving in the program way. I continued to go to Al-Anon and went to some other 12-step programs focused on the codependency aspect, mixed group of 12-steppers. I did all the right things. I got a sponsor, worked the steps, got into service work. My life totally changed. I supported myself. I was responsible for my child. I respectfully terminated several dysfunctional relationships and made new and some lifelong friends. After two or so years of sobriety, I realized and or could begin to deal with what I needed to tackle my lifelong problem of overeating. And that is what I did. I knew a little about OA, and I knew that the idea was three meals a day and nothing in between. I don't remember how I knew that. After retreat one weekend, I knew I had to do this thing. I started out by doing just that, eating three meals, and I remember eating sugar-free Jell-O at least once for a meal. I got to OA meetings, my busy schedule of work, school, and a child, and walked into an OA How meeting. Got a gray sheet, had a food plan, and took off. I lost exactly 100 pounds. I didn't even think anything of that 100 pounds. It was a lot, yes. It was great to lose it, and people noticed. But I had realized this time around, and didn't ever hear anyone talk about 100 pounders or even more, as I have heard this time. I didn't get involved in OA service. I got a sponsor first thing, but I didn't like her, so gave up on that. I didn't need her. The food plan was working. I lost 10 pounds a month, and poof, like that, magic. I figured I'd worked the steps. Yes, I had done that. But after the first or second high-level stuff, in which I wasn't entirely honest, I kept on going. Service work, being busy, having many things to do, kept me sober and abstinent. Drinking, by the way, was never a choice again for me. I knew it. I basically look at food as my first addiction. You know, when you start at a young age, it is part of you. And although I started drinking in earnest at 15, and I was no high bottom drug, I knew that drinking was over. Too many things had happened due to drinking. It was easy to do the four steps, make a living amends. So I did start eating young, about five or six years old, I think. I listened to a lot of speakers through podcasts the last few years, and so many of them remember all these incidents from their childhood about how they ate, eating events, even how food made them feel at the time. The biggest thing I remember is baking. My mom made me the baker at about 8 or 9. I liked doing it, was good at it, and even got into making homemade bread. It was one less thing my mom had to do, especially when making cookies, though, I often had a hard time making as many as the recipe called for. A lot of that sugar and flour mixed with whatever else was already inside me. This was way back in the old days when being even a few pounds overweight was not common and accepted. Starting at 7 or so, I think I carried 5 or so extra pounds, enough to be noticed, and it was a childhood issue. My grandmother bugged my mom about it. Things were said to me here and there, and that all started a lifetime of not feeling good enough, not accepted or acceptable. My first diet was at age around 13. I think it was almost 13 or maybe a little bit over 13 years old. And I know through writing this time around that I lost just 15 pounds because I do clearly remember the beginning and ending weights. There had been many years in there when I thought my first diet was a 25 pound weight loss. I kept this off for some time and eventually bounced back up that 15 pounds plus 10 pounds or so by my early 20s. I remember this clearly too from conversations with the man in my life. Even before I committed my life to him, he was telling me how he could help me lose this weight. You know, he thought I had slow metabolism, needed to speed up. We would get plenty of exercise. And we did, just by the lifestyle we lived. But that's another story. I have been active and busy for my whole life, childhood and all. I grew up where we had animals, had to take care of, moved irrigation pipes by hand. I learned to drive by driving the truck out to the barn to unload feed and hay by the time I was 13. If we weren't working, we were playing outside or with the neighborhood kids or riding horses. So this idea I was not quite good enough and overweight was reinforced to me in lots of ways over the years. I think when I lost 100 pounds, I lost down to just 10 pounds less than I was when I was in my early 20s. That was, of course, in my early 30s. And I was sometimes accused then of being too thin. Funny thing, I always took what was said to me to heart. This is something that I have been very careful of letting other people tell me who I am. I guess I mean this time around. This is one of the things that has really come to me this time around. Yes. And it is out there so in so many forms, so many avenues, and from everyday people. Judgments on who we are by the way we see other people through their lens. And people are vocal about it. Sometimes the judgments or other on other people that come out really surprise me. And I totally have realized that I spent a lot of my life letting other people identify for me who I am. So that's something that's there on my list of character defects, I think, which is what I'm working on very heartily right now. So here I am, involved in two 12-step programs, putting my heart and soul into it, doing service work, making friends, going on with life. In retrospect, I feel that as far as OA goes, I turned my will and life over to a food plan. It worked. I felt great. I could do this thing. I remember the first days or weeks of being sugar-free, however long it took the sugar to clear, it was truly miraculous, but so easy. I took it for granted. I remember how I felt, how it was so much easier to talk to random people. I could feel the lightness of my body and my heart. I never thought twice about not getting involved in OA service above the group level because I was in my other programs, but also in OA, it just wasn't there. The groups I was going to, it just didn't happen. I was so grateful that this time I have been exposed to the whole of Region 1 and to the World Service Office and the World Service Business Conference. All the forms of communication, the podcasts, virtual meetings, even before the pandemic have been just amazing for me. Being able to see a whole world view and so many stories from so many people has helped so much. I needed a lot of that help. And seeing the extent of OA, it is big. It is big enough to accept us all forms, all over, under eating, all peoples from all walks of life. I remained abstinent for about 5 years or so. I don't know when I truly broke abstinence, but I was slip sliding around for a while. Then started the tomorrows. Tomorrow I will do something. Tomorrow did not come for a long time. This was sometime in my last years of school, my seventh year. And I know by the time I graduated, I was up 50 pounds from my 100 pound weight loss. Then it was time to get a job and keep going. And I did get a good job. Through circumstance, I advanced, learned a lot, had a great boss who taught me a lot. How much he really taught me, I did not know until I left there and took another job, this one I am in now. By the time I came here to Southeast Alaska, I was up over 135 pounds from that first abstinence and weight loss. I have realized just this last week through this and other writing that losing that abstinence and weight gain, how much it truly affected me and how I feel about myself. There is so much in that. Excuse me. Disappointment, anger, loss, sadness, all at myself. What else is in me about this? I don't know yet. It is a funny and weird thing that I didn't know how much that affected my insides. I was still looking at weight loss itself as an outside thing. This time around, and it took me about 15 years to even try to come back to meetings, and then a couple more to get serious. You know, I didn't like the meeting here. whatever, any excuse, because I just couldn't do it. And it was not just the weight gain. It was some of the things I did, most particularly, I think, allowing myself to get into a very dysfunctional relationship. It was just a true measure of how I felt about myself. And of course, what meetings and program I was working at this point was totally by the wayside. And I've got to ad lib. I have a little bit about that place in my life. The place I lived where I got my, had my first, you know, professional job, and lived there for 9 years. So this was a small mining town in a over 100-year-old mining district built by many varieties of people and companies. And I learned so much about life here and people here, so much. I made really good friends too, people I still stay in touch with today. When I moved, I checked the meeting list. Yes, there were meetings all over the little towns around, and in a town I found a place to live in. Well, it wasn't really true. This was really a shock to me, but I realized meetings fell apart and nobody notified the inner groups to take the meetings off the list. What I thought would be a place of meetings and fellows was not. And the meetings that were close by, there were two AA meetings, one in the town I lived in that had just gotten started by an NA guy who just got out of rehab. One in another little town, and it was one OA meeting, were all as dysfunctional as could be. Crosstalk, tradition breaks, personalities before principles. I never knew this before. I did my best to bring things up, but lots of people just thought I was crazy, and they were all going to keep doing it the way that it had been. I did not go to any length of my recovery and turn my will and my life over to other people and to work. There was a period of time there in the first few years, especially before I got into this relationship. And I did. And I went to a state assembly, and I got involved in remote communities and talked to people about this and did the best that I could. Especially I have to say at the OA meeting itself, especially I did bring things up and talked. And there was one woman who consistently brought outside literature and these other things like this. You guys understand what I'm saying. There's lots of little things that I can't remember all the details of. And I brought things up as in the best fashion that I could, you know, not knowing how to do that at all. It just didn't happen. Nothing changed. And it just was not good for me. And I don't think that was an excuse. I could have went other places too. I just couldn't be there with the tradition breaks and the other things like that, and the crosstalk that constantly went on. But it was just, you know, just another sort of, you know, just another tick in the things that kept me away of my own volition, you know, not because of those things. And of course, you know, I have consistently went to other meetings, and I did, and it was just more difficult. I had to drive further and go further and further away, which I did. And because of that, I got involved in remote communities, which was a cool thing. I tried to apply the remote communities to, you know, our own space there. And I did actually help some people in another little town start a meeting, and did some cool stuff there. But, you know, truly, when I got into this relationship, which, you know, it's going to have to be something that I really look at exactly why I did, because it was not good. And I knew it from the get-go. But, you know, sometimes you can like a person, care about a person, and, you know, whether it's good or not good, you still just forge on ahead. Once I finally got back to OA 4 years ago, and I did just have 4 years of abstinence, which I'm very grateful for. It has been a slow but ongoing process. I am here for this one day at a time. I realize this is not a project I can work on, go through and do it all up and wrap it all up with a nice pretty bow. It is slow going. I have not lost nearly the amount that I believe is my goal weight. And that is, and that I need to lose more weight is clinically proven out. I am doing my best to do this, slowly but surely, develop a food plan I can eat, lose weight, be sustainable, allow for flexibility of my life, which is being at home part-time and living at work part-time, and rely on my higher power to keep me abstinent, make decisions what food is not good for me, and pray to stay away from them, to not eat compulsively. It's a slow, ongoing process to work this step. I am being thorough this time and have done 2/4, 5th steps. With everything I know, can remember, or am able to realize, I'm working on the next set of steps, the next part of the steps. It's been really slow. And I am sure full of procrastination, but also just me understanding more of myself and my character defects needed. The real insides of me that go way back in my life, things buried so deep. I have gotten outside help even before I finally started going to meetings and stayed here 4 years ago. This has allowed me to cry softly and gently to read so many things that I'm not even sure what they are, but sadness and grief, heartbreak. This has softened me up on the inside and helped me to understand more about how I act, react to life, which has then provided for natural healing correction, a higher power thing. Learning my character defects, being able to make the time to write, to let all this stuff come out. This is what I am doing. This is my hope, slowly and surely. I get better, slowly but surely. More will be revealed. Slowly but sure, I develop a spiritual life. Slowly but surely, I allow my higher power to do for me all I cannot do for myself. That's all. Thank you.